Okay, we're going to be today in the book of Ephesians.
Is it on, brother? Yeah, it's on. Turn it down. Okay, yeah, we're going to be in the book of Ephesians. It'll be in chapter 2. We're going to continue our study on through the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. And what we're going to talk about this morning is united in one body. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now again. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Lord, I ask you just to control my tongue, Lord. Don't let me say nothing that is out of your will. Guide us, Lord, and help us all, Lord, and just prepare our hearts. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to be looking at chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. And the title of this is United in One Body. I'm going to read 11 through 22. It says, "Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcised, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, and are built up the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto the holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Now, what we see here is Paul is expanding his concepts that he put forth over in 1:23, Ephesians 1:23, where he says, "Which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all things." So what I see here in these verses, Paul brings forth four concepts on the body of Christ. First one is he brings us near him. We see that in verses 11 through 13. The second one is he gives us peace. We see that in 14 through 17. The third one is he gives us access, verse 18. And the fourth thing that he expands his concepts on from Ephesians 1:23 is it gives us a new family. And that's in 19 through 22. So let's start reading this there. Verse 11, it says, "Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called circumcised in the flesh, made by hands." In Colossians 2:13, it says, "And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcised in your flesh." So what that's saying there is, "Wherefore remember that that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcised." So the Gentiles at this time were called the uncircumcised by that which was called the circumcised. Who's that? The Jew, right. So the Jews were the circumcised and the uncircumcised were the Gentiles. Now, move to verse 12. And it says, "That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. In Ephesians 4:18, just one chapter over, you can turn there, 4:18 it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So they were alienated. And then in Colossians 1:21 it says, and you that were sometimes alienated. So why were the Gentiles alienated? Back to verse 12, it says that at that time ye were without Christ. That's the answer. That's why the Gentiles were alienated. They were without Christ. And then it goes on to say that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Now, I want you to hold your place there because we'll be back. Go over to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Now, I'm going to be going through a lot of scriptures, and so some of them I can wait for you to get there and some I can't. So Romans chapter 9 and verse 4. Romans 9:4 says, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and service of God and the promise? So the privileges, according to this verse, the privileges of the Jewish people, they included adoption. That's where it says there. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption? You also see that in Exodus 4:33. Then it goes on. The glory. Well, they saw God's glory in Exodus 16:10. It says, and the covenants. Well, we just read that in 2:12, the covenants. They had the Mosaic law. They had the tabernacle and the temple. They had promises and a whole lot of them. They had the patriarchs and they also had Christ. That's what it says there. Who are the Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? So they had all that. Now, stay here in Romans chapter 9. Let's read verse 8. Romans 9:8. It says, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for seed. So the commonwealth of Israel that we read back over in Ephesians 2:12, they were not the children of God. I mean, they were the children of the flesh, according to 9:8. They weren't the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted, what it said, are counted for the seed. Okay? Now, back over in Ephesians 2:12, it says, that at that time we were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants and promises, having no hope and without God. So, folks, at this time, the Gentiles were hopelessly separated from God. And then why do you say that? Well, because it said right there. It said in verse 12, they were without Christ. They were aliens. They were strangers. They were without hope or having no hope. And they were without God. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from and strangers from the covenant of promises, having no hope and without God in this world. Okay? Now, so basically they were hopelessly separated at that time. Okay? Now let's move on to verse 13. It says, but. Now, when you see that word, things are changing. You know, but. Okay, so they were hopelessly separated from God. But. Now. in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes or afar off are made nigh by the blood of God. Blood of Christ, I'm sorry. So nigh means what? What are we talking in this context? Nigh means you're brought close to. That's what that means. In Galatians 3:28, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. Acts 2:39 says, for the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as our Lord shall call. Now, this right here ends the first thing that Paul expanded his concepts on of the body of the Christ put forth in Ephesians 1:23. He brings us near. Okay, now the second thing that Paul expands his concepts on from Ephesians 1:23 is he gives us peace. We see that in verse 14 through 17. 14 says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So he brings us near. I'm sorry, he gives us peace. For he is our peace. You don't get peace no other way. You go out and search the world for all the peace you want. You want inner peace? It's through the Lord. He brings our peace. In John 16:33, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you're justified, you're made right by your faith in Christ. Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Okay, verse 14, and he is our peace, who hath made both one. So what he did is in John 10:16, he says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So who hath made one? And then remember what it said I just read a while ago in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ. Everybody sitting here, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you're one. We're all one in Christ. Okay, verse 14, it goes on, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Between who? The context of this, between the Jew and the Gentile, he broke down that wall. Okay, verse 15, it says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law, of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in him of twain one new man, so making peace. So, having abolished in the flesh, that's referring to the physical death of Jesus Christ. And then in Galatians 4:4, it says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now, folks, God's Son was divine, and he was also human. What does it say in John 1:14? And the Word was made, what? Flesh, and dwelt among us. And then in Romans 1:3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And Philippians 2:7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Now, I've heard messages on this particular verse, and I really don't want to expand on it, but, you know, Jesus, when he come, he could have come as a mighty king. I mean, he was our king. He is our king. But he came in the form of a man with no special things added to him. I mean, when you think about a Jewish person, Jews are usually black-headed. I'm going to look around before I say this. They usually have big noses, but they're Jewish people. You know, Jesus came as a Jew, you know, and he didn't expect anything above the flesh, you know. He came as a Jew. He didn't take what did I just read, but made himself of no reputation and took up on him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Jesus Christ was unique, for he was God from all eternity, and yet he joined himself to sinful humanity in the incarnation. The God-man possessed all the attributes of deity. That's in Philippians 2:6. And the attributes common to man apart from sin. He didn't have that attribute. And he will exist forever as the God-man in his resurrected body. Okay? Then the verse goes on, 2:15, having abolished in the flesh even the law of commandments contained in the ordinance. Okay, so contained in the ordinance. If you look in Colossians 2:14, two books over, Colossians 2:14, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So this ordinances that it's talking about, the handwriting of ordinances, is a certification of acknowledgement of debt in the handwriting of the debtor. So what Paul here is doing, this phrase symbolizes what the law did for you. That's what it does. It symbolizes. It puts us in debt to God with our sin. So with our sin, we are in debt to God. But you know something? Praise God, that verse don't end right there. It goes on, it says, which are contrary, and took it and out of the way and nailed it to the cross. So our sins, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross, shed his blood, our sins. He shed his blood for our sins. Okay, back in 2:15, it also says, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself twain one new man and making peace. Twain is talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. Okay, verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God into one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. Now, I want you to hold your place there. We'll be back. Go to Colossians again. We're going to look at Colossians 1:20. We're going to read Colossians 1:20, 21, and 22. Colossians 1:20 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto him, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So he reconciled us to himself when he gave what it says in 22, in the body of his flesh through death. That's how he reconciled us. And then in Romans 6:6, it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The old man is talking about what we used to be. You can put in there if you want old ladies, and there's no old ladies here. but your old self. That's what this is referring to when he says the old man. Your old self. Okay? Now, they read on Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Then back to Ephesians verse 17. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. And then in Acts 2:39 it says, for the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, this here ends the second concept of the body of Christ brought forth by Paul in Ephesians 1:23. He gives us peace. Now, the next one that he brings forth the concept of, he gives us access. That's in verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, in John 10:9 it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all made to drink into one Spirit. So the Spirit joins all believers, not just the believers at Cornerstone Baptist Church, not believers that are just Baptists. The Spirit joins all believers. If you've any believer that accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, the Spirit joins them together into one body. Okay. Now, that's the end of the third one, is he gives us access. Verse 18. The fourth concept that he gives us a new family. Verse 19, it says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. I want you, hold your place there. We will be back. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at 22 and 23. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 22 and 23 says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. So, we are all fellow citizens with the saints. That's what it said there in verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So, if you're a Christian, if you've accepted the Lord, you're already a fellow citizen in that place. Okay? That's verse 19. Back to Ephesians. Verse 20 and 21 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. In Revelation 21:14, it says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the name of the apostles of the Lamb. So, in the figure of the church as the temple, Christ is the chief cornerstone. The apostles and the prophets are the foundation, and each Christian is a stone in that building. Now we're going to go to 1 Peter. If you were here Sunday night, Brother John preached out of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 4 through 8. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. It says, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that is that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and the stone of stumbling, and the rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed." So in that verse 5, it says what I just said a while ago, the apostles were the foundation, and the cornerstone is who? Jesus Christ. But this here says, ye, verse 5, ye also are lively stones. That's talking about believers. Believers are built up a spiritual house. You're part of that house. You're a stone in that house. Okay, and 1 Corinthians 3:11 is, for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul here is speaking of Christ as our sole chief cornerstone. Everything centers around that. You take an example here. You take a wall. You build a brick wall just straight. What happens to that brick wall? It wants to tip, okay? Put a corner in that wall. What happens? Makes that building strong, okay? That symbolizes what Christ has done for us. He is the chief cornerstone of that building. We're all part of that building. We're part of that spiritual building that's in heaven. You're already there, folks, if you've accepted the Lord. You know, you're not there in physically in our body, but we will be. Okay. And then the last one is verse 22 of Ephesians. It says, "In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." So what did I just say about there in 1 Peter 2:5? The living stones. That's us. Okay? So we are living stones, are built up a spiritual house, holy priest and a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. By who? By Jesus Christ. Everything works around. Everything hinges on that cornerstone, folks, in your life, in our walk. Everything we do for the Lord, it all hinges around Jesus Christ. So, with this, these four things is what Paul was expanding on from Ephesians 1:23. First, he brings us near. Second, he gives us peace. Third, he gives us access. And fourth, he gives us a new family in the Lord. So that way we are all united in one body. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you, Father. I know I just can't do your word the way you really want me to, Lord. Just pray, Father, that we take this, Lord, and help us to remember that, Lord, that you're our chief cornerstone. Everything hinges around you, and we're all one in you, Lord. So guide us today, Lord, in our service. Be with Pastor as he brings the message. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.